Second Peter chapter 1. Book of Second Peter chapter 1. We'll read from verse 3 to verse 10. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 10. The Bible says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside these, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail." Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this evening. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from all sin. Thank you for the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword, that pierces, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow, that judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible says thy word is like a hammer that breaks hard rocks, is like a fire that burns. I pray this evening, God, you will move in the midst of us. Touch our hearts, Lord. Minister to your children, each one of them, at the point of their need. Let these words that come out of my mouth not be empty, but full of the power of God to reach to every need of your child. Exalt yourself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to finish up a message I preached here some time ago. And I preached on the fact that I have everything I need to make it as a Christian. The second point I was going to give you that day, and I'm going to give you today, is that you have everything you need to have a good Christian service, to be able to serve the Lord. Getting saved, when we get saved, after we get saved, sometimes we wonder, what next? You know, it would be good if we got saved and there we go, we're going to heaven. But it doesn't happen like that. When you get saved, God has a job for you. God has a specific thing, he has a line for you. And many times we just don't know what we need to do. So sometimes we just lie around there, sit there, hopefully do something, and that's it. And for some of us, we just get saved and wait to go to heaven and never do anything. God did not mean it that way. If you were just to get saved and get to heaven, you will be gone. The reason why you're here, there is something in you that God has put there for the edification of the church. And nobody else can do it except you. And so when you don't do it, you're not doing your part. When you don't perform what God has put inside you, the gift that God has put in you, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You should be gone. So what we're going to look at today is, I have everything I need to serve the Lord. I want to establish a few things before we go there. First of all, when you look at verse 4, the Bible says, and you are partakers of divine nature. When you get saved, you have the divine nature in you. In the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 35, we'll not turn there. The angel comes to Mary and say, Mary, the Holy Ghost will encamp about you, and that will be born in you will be holy. In other words, something was introduced in Mary's life that was very pure, and nothing was going to defile it. So Jesus comes out as divine, as pure, as sinless. When you get saved because you are dead in your trespasses, God introduces something in your life that cannot be defiled. You become born again. Now, your flesh doesn't get saved. That's why your flesh gets into a lot of trouble. And the Bible says that two are always contrary to each other. But that thing that God saves in your life is pure. That's why you're as good as being in heaven today. So that's established. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we will read it together. The Bible says you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God ordained for you. You are designed by God for a purpose. You're not just by the way. You didn't just come by. You're designed for a purpose. God made you, gave you what you have, the brains, the color, the size, the height. All those things are designed by God for a purpose that only you can fulfill. So when you don't fulfill them, you miss the mark of it. So you're his workmanship this evening here. You're designed by God for a purpose. After God designs you, so God says, I was talking to somebody, he has a special needs child. And he said, this child takes a lot of our time sometimes. And I said this to him. I said, God searched all of Europe. He searched all of Japan. He was looking for a family who could bring this child into the world. He searched into Africa. He didn't find any. He searched everywhere. He didn't find any place. Finally, he found you. And he said, I've got a family. I've got a family. I'm going to introduce this child into the world through this home. And God introduced this child through your home. It is not a coincidence. God is in control. God knows what he's doing. So he designs us and brings us in just the right place we need to be. So you are God's workmanship. You are not a mistake. The second thing you want to realize is that you are his vessel. So you are his workmanship. He's designed you. The color you have, the height you have, the language you speak, the fingerprints on your finger, you're the only one who has them. Nobody else has that fingerprint pattern. Only you has it. So you are designed in that area. Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. So you are his workmanship. Secondly, you are his vessel. You are the vessel of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of a power may be of God and not of us. So you get saved. God knows you. He's been following. He finally finds you, saves you, and then puts treasure in you. Amen. Treasure that is not in anybody else. Very serious treasure that it takes God day and night, minute by minute, second by second, to protect you, to cover you, to know where you are every time. You are never out of his sight, to the extent that when an air drops out of your head, he recognizes it. Because you're so valuable, so treasurable before him. It takes him the fact that the devil cannot do anything to you, except he says, it's okay, you can do it. He can't cross some lines. That's how treasurable you are. So you're designed by him. You're his treasure. The other thing I want you to realize is this. After he designs you, he saves you, he puts his treasure in you, you become a living stone, a lively stone. The book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We'll read it together. I'm establishing a few things so that I say what I need to say, that you have everything to serve the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2. I believe is 1 Peter. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, ye also are lively stones, Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. You are a lively stone. There is life in you at Gateway Baptist Church. These lively stones build up the church of Christ here. See, before in the Old Testament, you went to the temple to meet with God. In the New Testament, we bring the temples into the house of God. You are the temple of the Lord. I'm a temple of the Lord. So and so is a temple. When we get saved, Jesus dwells in us. When we gather here, we're coming together as temples of the Lord in one communion. So that where these temples of the Lord are, Jesus is present. Praise the Lord. So you are designed by him. You are a lively stone. You have treasure inside you. When God establishes these things in you, then he puts gifts into your life. And each one of us has a gift. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. We'll read that together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He hath descended is the same also that he ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to perfect man, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So God puts things inside you. Now, there's a difference between gifts and fruit. A gift, I only need to wrap it and give it to you. It's a gift. A fruit, you grow into it. The gifts of God are given to us. You get saved today, God decides to give you a gift. God decides to call you. God decides whatever he wants you to do. He impacts on you right there. But the fruit of the Spirit, you study, you learn, you grow. Sometimes you mess up and you rise up. You're growing. Then the fruit is produced in you. Humility, you're not going to say, I am praying to be humble. No, you've got to grow into it. You're not going to pray, okay, Lord, give me patience. No, you've got to grow into it. It's something you'll have to learn. You have to deal with. You have to discipline yourself to grow into the fruit of the Spirit. However, the gifts of God are given to you. And God gives every child of his something to be done for the edifying of the church. So if God blesses me with singing and I don't sing, I don't edify the church. So I miss to do what God has asked me to do. If God gives me the joy of calling brethren and encouraging them and I don't do it, I'm not edifying the church. If God calls me to be a witness, to be able to reach out to people wherever they are, and I don't do it, I don't edify the church. So each one of us has something that God has put inside that needs to be used to edify the church. Now remember, you're his workmanship. He designed you. When he said, I wanted somebody who can witness, he designed you to be able to talk. When he said, I want somebody who can encourage people, he designed you to be patient. You can listen and before you talk. When he said, I need every person is a treasure of God. So then, having established that, do I have everything I need to serve the Lord? And the answer is yes. Now, let me give you the points I have, and then I'll be done. Here is the divide. So each one of us, you're gifted, you're designed, you're prepared. God has put everything you need to be part of this church and be able to edify the church of Christ. It's not meant for you to sit just there. You're meant to be part of it. Edify the people around you. Encourage the people around you. The difference is this. Here's where the divide comes. Obedience versus disobedience. So I am blessed, you're gifted. We're all treasures right here. Treasures of God. Something is inside me. Something is inside you. Now, I am either going to obey and do it, or I'm going to say, I don't want to do it. You have it. I have it. You have been impacted with some things. I've been impacted with some things. The difference between what's going to happen, whether I'm going to please God or not, is that one of us is going to obey. Another one is going to say, I don't want to do it. Philippians 1:6, the scripture says, he who began the good work in you will accomplish it. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says, it is God which worketh in you to do, to will and to do according to his purpose. So I'm just here. I have the treasure of God in me. God says, okay, it's me who is going to will and act in you. Are you willing to do it? Are you obedient? Are you going to offer your hands and your mouth and your eyes for me to do what I need to do in your life? And I would say yes, or I don't want to do it. You see, it's him who is going to put, he has put it inside. He wants to use it. But I can say, Lord, don't use my hands. Don't use my voice. Don't use my body. I choose at that point. But he asked me to will and to do. In Ephesians 3:20, the Bible says that he has the power that is in us to do it. And it's obedience or disobedience. So if you're not serving the Lord, if you're not edifying the church, if you're wondering, what am I doing here? Can I do anything? If you just sit from January to another January, you don't do anything, it's not because you don't have it. You have it. You just don't want to use it. So you need to use it for the glory of God. Secondly, you offer yourself. So the first thing, obedience. Secondly, you offer yourself. Chapter 12. We're going to read it together. Romans 12, verse 1 to verse 8. Romans 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 8. The scripture says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of the other. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the prophecy of faith, proportion of faith, of ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. So, there's some things we don't think about. Paul mentioned things like he that ruleth, he that exhorteth, he that sheweth mercy. So, the people that the pastor has put over us, the deacons, Sunday school teacher, wherever they are, God has put something in them. They're supposed to use it for the edifying of the church. Sometimes I receive calls from brethren here. You know, I just wanted to call you and say, I'm thinking about you and praying for you. That's a gift God has put inside you. He that exhorteth, let him exhort. Some just have the mercy. Something goes on and they're right there to help you, to encourage you. The problem is this. We have not read so well to understand that most of the things that God has put in you, you've ignored them, but they're the gift that God has put in you. As you look at Romans 12, there's some things mentioned here that before you read it, you don't think about it. Rulership, exhortation, showing mercy. They don't just come by. God has put them inside you. So when you do them, you edify the church. When you don't do them, you don't edify the church. So number one, obedience. Number two, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. See, the problem with living sacrifices, they simply roll away from the altar. You know, a dead sacrifice cannot come away from the altar, but living sacrifices easily come away from the altar. God has designed you. God has put a gift inside you, but you've got to offer it. You bring it back to him. Say, thank you for saving me, but I'm bringing it back to you, Lord. What do you want me to do? And as God opens your mind and your understanding, it may not be singing, it may not be teaching, it may not be preaching, but it may be just visitation. It may be just calling the brethren. Maybe just being there, staying there with those who are needy. I tell you, sometimes I'm blessed and challenged with the team. I'm going to open here. I don't know what is there, but I hope I find some water. Yes. No, you took everything, brother. I found some. Thank you. So for the edifying of the church, God has put things in us. It's wonderful during Jubilee when you see the way other people are gifted in ways that I'm not gifted. And I praise God for them. How they move, what they do, how they serve down there, how they spend sleepless nights just to do things that they enjoy doing for the glory of God. What a blessing as you see them serve the church and the church is edified. We come here during the meeting and we enjoy and we bless the Lord. And then they sneak out in the night and they go and do the job. They're edifying the church. Thirdly, the difference between you being able to edify this church or not is cleanliness or filthiness. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, the Bible says this, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. Here we're talking about vessels. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. The Bible says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now in verse 15, he just said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember what we said. We are all vessels. We have the treasure of God. So this vessel's treasure, this vessel's treasure, this vessel's treasure. God needs a vessel today. So he looks into this vessel. He has treasure in it, but it's dirty. He cannot use it today. He comes to this vessel. He looks at it. He has his treasure inside, but this vessel has not cleansed itself, so he can't use it. He comes to this vessel and finds this vessel is clean. and he uses it. That's the difference. So you are imparted by God's power, by God's grace, by God's mercy. You don't have to be the one to do it, because it's him who worketh in us to will and to do according to his purpose. So let me give an example. God says, I need somebody sent to, let's say, he has somebody in Greenville that needs to be visited because there's a need there. And he comes to Gateway Baptist Church and he needs a man. And one of the men that he has put in his treasure to be able to reach to this person and witness to that person. He comes to his first treasure and finds the treasure is not ready. It's dirty. So he can't use it. He goes to the next one. He finds it clean. And so he uses it. For in a large house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. If a man therefore will purge himself, he'll be a vessel of good use. And sometimes the reason why we are not able to edify the church and reach out to other people with the gift that God has put in us is just simply that we're not clean. We stay in the dirt. We play in the dirt. We don't care. And therefore, God just doesn't find us ready for use when he needs us. What was the problem with Saul? What was the difference between Saul and David? If you talk about sinning, if you put their sins together, David's sins are higher than Saul's sins. But he is a man who is able to come and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Clean me. Renew my spirit. And God finds this man a man after his own heart. Saul's problem is, I didn't do it. They caused me to do it. And God says, I've rejected you. In this big house here, we have been meant to edify each other, to exhort each other, to strengthen each other. You have a gift. I have a gift. I can either use it to edify or not. And lastly, the difference is you either apply yourself or you simply play lazy. You're a vessel. You've been gifted. You don't have used your strength because God is going to act in you and is going to use you. But you simply are lazy. In Matthew 25, verse 15, that's going to be our last scripture. Matthew 25, 15. We know this quite a lot because this is the parable of talents. I've read this over and over and over, but this year, for some reason, when I was reading it, I came to verse 15, and it just made different sense. Verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants, his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. Now look at verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. So he came to the first man. He realized he put treasure in him enough to handle 5 talents. So he says, I give you 5. He came to the second man and said, I see you can't handle 5, but you can take 3. I'm giving you 3. He came to the last man and said, your ability, you can't handle 5. Your ability cannot handle 3. I know you can handle 1. So here is. The first man does his job. He brings 5 more. Edifies what needs to be edified, put to work what God has put inside him, brings back the fruit. The second man, 3 of them is given. He does what needs to be done. He has the ability to do it. God knows he has the ability to do it, so he gives it to him. He produces 3 more. The third man, God knows this man has the ability. According to the ability, God knows this boy has the ability to produce 1 more, but he doesn't do it. So the day of reckoning comes. The one with 5 brings 5 more. The one with 3 brings 3 more. The one with 1 says this to him. I want to read those words. In verse 24, this is what he said. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. What was his problem? He did not do what he was supposed to have done. He was just a lazy man. I'm afraid sometimes that's where we are. You know, since I don't have the five talents, I can't preach like so-and-so, I'm not going to do anything. Since I don't have three talents and I cannot sing like other people sing, then I'm not going to do anything. But you have one talent. You have one talent that God has put in you. He knew you could handle it. And he expects something out of you by the end of the day. By the end of the day, every vessel must be opened and make an account of what was put inside. Was it used or was it misused? God has not saved you just to pack you here for rapture. There is a job for you. In fact, he says, occupy until I come. We are saved. That's really a good deal. Now, a brother preached here some time ago about, I think Brother Carter, committed, but are you conformed? Yes. There's a salvation. There's a commitment. There's a conforming. Then there is glorification. While we are here, whatever God has treasured you with, whatever God has put inside you, I want you to look for it. If it's one talent, if it's three talents, open your heart to God. Use it for the glory of God. Edify those around you. Bless those around you. If God has blessed you with just listening, listen to people. Encourage them. If God has blessed you with visiting other people, do it. If God has blessed you with a word of testimony, testify in homes, in nursing homes, wherever they are, in church. If God has blessed you with singing, go for it. If God has blessed you with helping and cleaning the church, do it. If God has blessed you with service, serve other people. If we don't, we have to reckon for it. Let's stand up.